administrative director May, if you would ask what our member of the Senate did over tourism.
Andrew.
I went.
Stop the meeting, I'm here.
Just in time.
Just kidding.
Please call their name. What'd you do over tour, Andrew?
I slept.
I got your name tag. Where'd I put it? Over. What did I do over tour, Andrew? Yeah, I went home.
You went home?
Yeah. So I used that.
Sorry.
I worked.
I watched three documentaries, Play Just Dance, and went to a conference in Missouri.
Courtney.
I did a lot of cooking.
You went cooking?
So that, I came back to Gath and worked on the.
Trying to make that extra dime.
John, I didn't hear you.
I judged a high school speech for the first time.
Sam.
I went to and saw American Hustle, which is surprisingly really good.
Nick.
I watched every Best Picture nominee, and I played the worst game of pool of my life.
Bobby.
I went to Disney World with my brother and dad.
I applied for internships for the summer, and I found out I'm going to Norway.
Peter.
I was in Lima, Peru, so.
Mark.
I went to 3 days at the museum in Chicago. I took a road trip to Washington, D.C. and toured and saw all of it, just like literally all of it, in 4 days.
We saw all of it. How did you saw it?
Last museum.
Ben.
I woke up at 5 a.m. and drove to Cato every morning.
I worked a lot.
Yeah. Work at the.
Get that money.
Jordan? Jana?
Rogan? I worked on my thesis.
I had an internship over at RMG.
Adam.
Worked a little bit and went to visit some friends in Bemidji.
Dan.
I was with the choir and the exotic location of Northern Minnesota and South Dakota.
Janet.
I worked a lot.
Pia told me to speak on her behalf.
David.
I was on the same exciting G choir tour of Northern Minnesota and South Dakota.
I was on the rousing tour of the upper Midwest.
I went to Lincoln, Nebraska, watched every Oscar Best Film nomination, and totally kicked Senator Nigro's butt at pool. And I won, actually, a lot. I won.
Jonas.
I locked in an interest rate on the property I'm going to buy and finished everything I need to do for the house I'm going to sell.
And administrative director May. now move to approval of the minutes from the 13th of January 2014. I believe those might have been my minutes, so if there are any discrepancies, now's the time. Discrepancies, all right. We'll move to a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes as are, say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Abstentions? Approved. Now we'll move to community comment. Are there members of the community who wish to comment? Seeing none, we will move on. Old business, and we'll begin with a Board of Trustees update. Co-President Cabrera.
So, Co-President Timmons and I met with the board over J-term. We had a good time talking and presenting to them. We talked about how the tobacco-free initiative is still pretty present on campus, as well as the divestment initiative. And then we also discussed how the chaplains will begin to be holding chapel services on Sundays, which when we first met in the fall, some of the board and some alumni we knew had some issues with that and whether or not that was going to happen, so we updated them on the status of chapel. We also talked about how Senate would potentially be looking into what we would do in case of a student's death during their time here at Gustavus and what kind of memorial type object or tradition we might want to put in place as Senate. And then we also discussed with them creating a stronger Senate-board relationship, and specifically we asked that we have a more informal meeting next time where hopefully we can spend some time chatting with them in more of a workshop-like setting instead of us standing and presenting to them so that we can really bounce some ideas back and forth. And then, we also discussed told them our ambitions about the dive and how we will continue, and we will be starting a very large PR campaign real soon here. And then we just updated them on some inter-Senate timelines regarding like when elections would be happening and how our Senate was doing really great this year. Are there any?
I was also just going to mention they want to make sure that the time we spend with them is fruitful, and so they tossed around the idea, and it sounds like pretty for sure that the next time they come in the spring, rather than opening up the breakfast to all of student body, they'd like to open it up to members of Senate and hear your opinions and as representatives of the student body. I think that would be pretty effective.
And which would require you guys making a commitment to being there at 7 in the morning, or 7:30 or whatever time it is. Like it would be like we'd need literally every one of you to commit to it in order to have enough people.
But they felt that as we collaborate on some issues, that'd be really effective to strengthen that bond and hear, even get a wider perspective than what Danny and I have.
They're very interested in what the students have to say, and so they're very hungry to hear more about what Senate has to say. Are there any questions for us regarding the board?
Question? Discussion? Seeing none, we'll open the floor to old business. Is there any old business?
Yeah. This is more of a question. In regards to the, the removal of parking spaces in Beck, I just had a constituent ask me the other day what that was about, and I don't remember receiving an email, but he said he did, but I just was curious if anyone had any input on that, potentially Jonas or you guys.
We're going to hold off. Since that technically is an old business, we haven't really discussed parking as a pressing issue. But if you want to bring it up in new business, we can have that conversation.
Okay.
Any other old business?
Control request.
Well, I'll just say, we are working on basically revamping the entire constitution and like most of the bylaw, like just everything. So we will get to it soon, and we'll have concrete changes on everything in the coming weeks. But just a few more meetings to really solidify things, and then we'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other old business? Old business. Old business. Old business. Seeing none, we'll move on to new business. And with that, we'll start a day at the Capitol. Co-President Cabrera. You asked me. Oh, certainly. Yes, I will talk about it. So, traditionally, there has been a strong connection with the Marketing and Communications Department and relying on the help of Senate, along with Kate, Professor Knudsen. She uses one of her classes to coordinate a day at the Capitol in which students are encouraged to travel up to the Capitol and lobby on behalf of the Minnesota State Grant Program, which is a program that allows for monies to be granted to students who show economic need for it and make private school a more competitive option for those families. And those who wish to attend will get tons of information about the statistics and make sure that they're well informed, and so that way that they know what they're talking about and why they're speaking. We also specifically ask students who are recipients if they would feel comfortable coming in, sharing how it's affected them, and what benefit is shown them here at Estevas. So that will be, do you have the date on that? March 7th. I'll look up the date, unless that's what you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Nope, okay.
Doing completely unrelated.
Good, I like that. Mm-hmm. So, Dan Cap will be later March. We'll work in partnership with Marketing Communications. We'll ask that some of you be comfortable tabling certain days to get the word out and make sure that students know what's happening and that that's an option. Also, right now, we're planning on turning the latter half of the afternoon into a networking event with Dusty's Corps specifically working on the Hill. We are Tuesday, March 18th is when Day at the Capitol will be happening. So Tuesday, March 18th, the latter half will be a networking event, like I said, hopefully. That's the plan thus far. And so Dusty's can go and see alums working and see the different facets. We'll try to figure out ways to make it as fruitful for students who specifically want to talk about lobbying or legislation or break it into segments that make sense. But that is on the horizon, and we should let you all know. Are there any questions about Day at the Capitol? Sarah Seattle.
Just clarification. This is St. Paul, the Capitol, and not like D.C. and I guess this specific question about the lobbying itself, or maybe the program itself, is that for student? Is that just for the schools to give to any student, or just for students who are Minnesota residents?
I believe it's just for the grant is for Minnesota residents.
So,
but I would still encourage out-of-state students to attend to lobby for their fellow students.
Okay. Yeah, I just want a clarification on that. Thank you.
So also just to clarify, students are speaking on their own behalf, or do they have the permission to speak on behalf of the college?
They have the permission as well. They certainly, I would say from my personal experience, I went last year and spoke on behalf of the program as a whole, and I never reference specifically persons that I know that receive the grant, but I talk about how invaluable their experience here at the Estevas has been for me in my experience here at the Estevas. So it
really however you choose to approach it. That information is protected, so like the school can't say, here's the list of students receiving the grant, but if you know someone personally, I mean, that's just however you choose to navigate that. Does that help?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a presentation? Or are you meeting individually with like different members?
So what will happen is in the morning we'll get on a bus. I'll back up. The day before, one of the coordinators with the Minnesota Private Colleges Council, will be here and will try to disseminate as much information as possible and how to handle your one-on-one time with your legislator. So what will happen is students will get a booklet of all of their representatives' information. So what district they live in, who do they represent, towns within the district, their party affiliation, how long they've been in, which house they're in. So then when we get to the Capitol, we'll have a meeting with all the other private colleges that will be attending that day and the students they've sent. Gustavus has typically been the majority of that meeting. We send a lot of students generally. And then the students will break off, and like last year I went with somebody who lived in my district, and we went together and talked to our representatives together, but it's however you choose to do that. So then you go and schedule an appointment with your representative and talk with them if they're available.
Okay.
Any other questions? We will move on to Senate calendar. Am I handing this over to you?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So we just wanted to give you an update of the upcoming events. Spring semester is typically and has always been very busy for Senate, especially with finance and budgeting season coming up. But immediate dates that are coming up, co-president applications went out today. They're available in the Dean of Students office. Spring elections will happen March 3rd, 2014, as stipulated in our constitution that must happen on the fourth Monday of the spring semester. The application date on the agenda is wrong. It's supposed to be February 17th, not the 24th, but on the applications it's right. Which is also as stipulated in the Constitution that they must be due the second Monday of spring semester. And then, as well, Matt and I, as well as or co-president Timmons and I, as well as our advisor, have been working on forming a presidential cabinet forum where the presidential cabinet will be all in one place and students will be able to ask them questions. And so we're having that on March 19th. At 7 p.m. in the Heritage Room, and we strongly recommend that you all come because this is a Senate-sponsored event and like a really great thing that we get put on. So you'll be hearing more about it as it comes closer, but keep that in your calendars. And then also, we've also set a date for special elections specifically regarding the dive for March 24th, and there will be more updates on that later. So please keep all these dates in mind, not February 24th, because that's the wrong one. It's supposed to be February 17th. But other than that, these are just some of the upcoming dates, and I'm sure our controller will have more for us later in regard, or our finance director, in regards to our spring budgeting season. Are there any questions for me regarding the calendar?
Controller, Beth,
could you briefly
our plans, Co-President Timmons and I, our plans is that we would have another referendum on the ballot for funding of the dive. With that, we're also planning on, like as I mentioned earlier, a PR campaign, including hopefully some panels where students can people who worked on the Dive project questions regarding the Dive renovation.
Senator Burkrat.
I'm just wondering, like, how much input we're going to have and, like, what specifically Senate is pushing for. You know what I mean? Like, are we going to decide as a body, like, how much we want to raise the student activity fee, what exactly we want to do? Because I feel like right now it's just being presented, like, this is what's happening. It's kind of like, okay, so I have to, like, be in support of this because Senate is doing it. But it's, I'd like to have more voice in exactly what's happening and at least let this body discuss.
Well, we will have, we can't, I mean, technically we can't have the special elections if we don't have the referendum passed in the Senate first. Is that correct? That's correct? So there will be a discussion, but we wanted to set a date so that we would have a timeline as to, like, this is before spring break, so we felt like it would be a good time before students go away, and that we could be able to manage our time and either get it passed or not have it passed. So there will be a discussion. And I see your concern, and it's completely valid.
Is that all?
Yeah.
Senator here.
Clarification on spring elections, is that just for co-presidents or for, like, board or chair positions or everything?
It would be co-presidential for sure.
Oh.
And I don't know if our timeline on constitutional amendments will be fast enough with the issues we ran into and having to transition with the new ombudsperson. So we'll see how that plays out. We may have to have a special election for the constitutional amendments in addition to the Dive, or we'll have a discussion or combined, however Senate chooses to handle it. But specifically, it's the co-presidential election for spring elections, potentially with constitutional amendments. Any other questions or comments? Discussion. Seeing none, we'll open the floor for new business. Is there any new business? Senator Steele.
I guess revisiting what I said earlier, or asked earlier, if anyone has any information on the, parking situation. It was specifically in Beck, but I'm not sure if there's other parking lots that have lost spots or the others that have gained. I'm not sure, but just. Yeah.
So when we met with Carol Brewer, Director of Campus Safety, in the fall, she had informed us that this was happening, but only in Beck, and that the reason was because a lot of those spaces, the red spaces in Beck, weren't being used by students, but faculty needed more spaces, so they removed, I believe, one row, if I remember correctly, of red, and then just made that green, for faculty or administrators or employees in college.
So your understanding was there was only one row of the red?
But you're not
sure.
Can't be certain. I know it was either a row or two.
Okay.
I actually thought I was under a different impression. My impression was there was that long row that was overnight parking, and it appeared as though that parking wasn't being utilized for overnight parking. It wasn't being utilized for students to park their vehicle, the residential students. It seemed as though there was a pressing need for commuter parking. And so my understanding is that row, that far one closest to Southwest, the south row, was transitioned to commuter parking. But
okay.
I will definitely, we can look and open the floor so somebody knows.
And just to confirm, there's no such thing as commuter parking anymore.
Yeah.
It's red.
Still
it's all red. It's either red or green.
Okay.
Any other discussion?
Is the plan just to take it out then, or are they going to then transplant it somewhere else to put parking where it might be needed, say right by co-ed or by complex or something?
They've already done it.
Okay, sorry, dumb question.
Any new business or discussion?
You guys, if I'm not mistaken, you met with the provost
yes.
at some point, and so I was curious to hear
yes.
about that.
About parking?
I wish.
No.
yes, so any of you saw, or those of you who did see, there was a post on Overheard about 100 courses being cut. And so we immediately started receiving feedback and questions, and so we wrote Provost Braun right away and said, I don't know if you've seen this, but this is happening. Can we please schedule a meeting and get some clarifications and information about this? And so he emailed us 10 minutes later and was like, absolutely, let's meet tomorrow morning. So we met, and it's not 100 courses being cut. The actual cut is, or cuts, are three non-tenure faculty that were nearing their third year of their three-year contract. They were under the impression that they would have another year, or I shouldn't even say contract. Those
non-binding verbal agreement.
What?
Yeah. Yes. Non-binding verbal agreement.
Yes, exactly. Those three were cut. The other five positions were professors that were on sabbatical or in a position where they hadn't been teaching, so it wasn't as though necessarily those courses were cut. And all the professors that are the three, their course offerings could still be offered by other professors, but as we discussed, they were courses where you literally had one or two students enrolled in them. And so we discussed, do you have the notes from that meeting? So he discussed, he gives a lot of reasoning why we're in the position where we need to make some cuts. We're 60 students under where we projected to be. And so if you think of what the dollars that a student brings in actually to the school, 60 students ends up being close to $1.5 million. So we have to find $1.5 million in cuts. And not that it's fun, but you have to start going through them. Do you remember the other issues that you were doing? Yeah. But eventually, we went over the numbers. He said there's no way we could possibly reach 100 courses being cut by the number of cuts that are being made, or the cuts that are being made. That number just isn't possible. He said for that to happen, it would be something like 17 full-time faculty who are teaching five courses or four courses or whatever it would be. And the eight cuts wasn't anything new. That had been told to us months ago, and it was just those the three within them that were a surprise.
Did he mention which departments they were from, or is he just like vaguely there?
No. Sorry, Brett.
So you give a number 8 and 3. There were 8 that were on the block, of which 3 got cut.
There were 8 that had to be made, and 3 within that ended up being 3 that weren't necessarily under the impression that they were going to be.
Okay.
The 5 were pretty sure that, and
okay,
they had time and they knew that was coming. It was just those 3 that.
Okay. Yield.
And probably helpful to reiterate that none of them were tenured track faculty. So they were all the adjunct type faculty that we fill in with. Not that those aren't wonderful educators, but.
And these cuts go into effect next fall, or like by the end of this semester. So those professors will still be teaching this semester, but afterwards.
Do students ever get a say in what faculty gets cut, or is it just up to the deans who make the cuts? Like,
The deans and the faculty.
The faculty senate has to. Do you have any yield?
Whenever you're ready.
Sure. I was just going to say, no department can be eliminated
yeah.
unless it has the express consent of the faculty senate.
Okay.
So that is one safeguard. But as far as to answer your direct question of student involvement,
yeah, so probably the single biggest way that students have a voice on faculty is when you fill out your semester evaluation forms of faculty. Like, that's probably the most direct way that you have an opportunity to say, these are faculty members that I really love and I learn a lot from, or these are faculty members that I'm less than happy with. The other thing is that it's important for you to know that if you're having a negative experience in the classroom or a positive experience in the classroom, it's always appropriate for you to put that in writing or to have a meeting one-on-one with the director of the department. And if the director of the department is the person that you're either loving or hating, then the provost's office is the appropriate place to go with that feedback. So it's always appropriate and always fine for you to share that information individually. But then it's also just a really good indicator of how important it is that you bother to fill out the end of the semester evaluations with your faculty.
Can anything be done now, like for those professors?
That's a great question. I would say that those decisions are pretty far down the road.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, you never should say never. I've seen decisions that look like they were pretty far down the road that have been unmade.
We specifically asked Provost Braun that question.
Yeah.
And his response was that potentiality exists.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be fair to lead those people on. He would rather tell them now so that way they can keep playing, and if something changes potentially, that then we can offer that position again, or say it's open if you would like it, but he felt it was far more appropriate to give them time to apply for other positions and seek employment as soon as possible, so that way they weren't surprised at the end of the year.
Okay, thank you.
I think the other thing that I just want to jump in on and say is that you know, like, clearly there was some kind of a student groundswell of concern that was born of something or someone sharing some basis of legitimate concern. But I also think it's really important for you to recognize the fact that where Matt started the conversation, which is, you know, it's not just like the provost's office woke up one morning and thought, well, this will be fun kicks and giggles, let's cut some jobs. Like, these are things that we're looking at campus-wide. There will be administrators that will be cut, positions that will be cut before the end of next year. There will be staff positions that will be cut before the end of the next year. When you're a tuition-driven institution, which is what Gustavus is, it means that, you know, we make the college run on the bottom line of what comes in for tuition, on tuition dollars, not, I mean, there's certainly lovely, lovely gifts that come to us from our friends and from our alums, but those don't even come close to how much it costs to operate the institution. So when you have more dollars in what it costs to run the institution than you have tuition dollars and I suppose also grant gifts that are coming in, then you have to figure out what you're going to cut in order to balance that budget. And the single biggest piece of the college's operating budget is twofold. There's two gigantic pieces. One, financial aid. That's the single biggest piece of the entire college budget. So you don't, the average Gusty doesn't pay 100% of their tuition. The average Gusty pays something more like 50% of their tuition. And all of the aid that goes to students has to get accounted for in the bottom line of the budget. The second biggest chunk, hugest big chunk of the budget is salaries and benefits for employees. So when you start looking at where can you cut, you know, like for example, it doesn't, like in student life, I have operating budgets that are this big compared to salaries and benefits of my staff that are this big. So there's not, like, I could cut every single operating budget in the student life division and I still wouldn't come up with as much money as I have invested in salaries and benefits. So if I'm really gonna, if I really have to make a cut in order to balance the budget, it means I gotta cut somebody's jobs. It's the reason why the drug and alcohol ed director didn't get replaced last year, because we were trying to balance the budget and that was the position that last year in student life made the most sense to cut. The year before that in student life, we cut almost every one of the part-time campus safety people. So this coming year in student life, there'll be some other cuts that are gonna get made to positions. But you know, I think it's like important for you guys to kind of understand this big picture that there's limited dollars, there's limited income. When, and as Matt has shared with you already, when there are fewer students attending the institution, then that means that there are more ways that you have to figure out how to make up the difference with the lack of revenue that comes in. The other one is that's complicated to understand, but I think it's important to try to explain it, is back in the old days, you would raise tuition by X number of dollars and Y number of dollars, some amount smaller than that, is what you would actually benefit from, because you, every time you raise tuition, you also have to raise financial aid. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? So now, in the good new days that we are currently in, it almost doesn't pay us to raise tuition, because for every bit of tuition that we raise, we are almost at the point where we have to raise financial aid that much also. So it's not like you can just simply say, well, if you want to balance the budget, charge more in tuition. One, every single student in Gustavus would be mad as hell that you just randomly raise tuition even more. But two, you also have to raise the financial aid budget. And so what you get out of that increase doesn't equal much. So all of those are really good reasons not to raise tuition a ton, and instead to try to figure out how to balance the budget in other ways. And again, the biggest chunk of that other way is in employment and in benefits, or salaries and benefits.
And one more thing to add right before you move on to the next speaker. The tuition increase will not be as great as it has been in past years because Gustavus is making a conscious effort to lower their tuition increases. So instead of in the past where it's been 5 or 6%, now it'll be like...
It'll match the consumer price in 4%. So 2.3. And so that, you know, that halves almost all of the increases that we've seen in the years before. So that also is a part of that equation of where does that shortfall happen? How is it happening? Senator Nevro.
I just wanted to clarify, no specific department is gonna like face the axe from this, because I've been hearing word that like the Chinese department is on the chopping block.
Technically, Chinese was never a department. It was a program.
So it's still totally in jeopardy, is what you're saying.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it would depend on who's being cut.
Right, obviously.
But there's other professors that, like, I'm sure are also able to teach Chinese. So Chinese won't necessarily be going away.
Senator Hare.
I was wondering if I could direct this question to our advisor. Who would be the most pertinent person to talk to about the workforce reduction that was announced in December for the faculty?
If it's related to the faculty, it would be Provost Braun.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if we could, I guess I would like to charge the co-presidents with meeting with the provost about the workforce reduction that happened in the pro-back December. It hasn't happened yet. But
they did already.
Oh, this
they
is
met,
like the full workforce reduction that's supposed to take place over 4 years. It's been shortened to 1 year.
Okay, so that's your apples and oranges.
Oh, yeah, that's why I was asking.
So on last year, President Olley said, I think that the college should cut 1% of its workforce for the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And This year, the cabinet and the budget, the college budget committee, which has representatives from administration, faculty, and staff, looked at the budget and said, if we only cut 1% of the workforce, there's no humanly possible way that we're going to make budget. So even though President Oley had said, I think it sounds like a really nice idea to cut it 1% every year, the budget committee and the cabinet said, well, that's a nice idea, but we can't do our budget. We won't come in with a balanced budget if we do that. We have to do more than that. And to be frank, the president can make all the suggestions that he wants about how much to cut every year, but once he's not the president, there's really no way that you would be able to like enforce that idea. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Is it still relevant to charge them, to talk to girls? That's
You can absolutely, if that feels like the right thing to do. What I was just saying was that they met with Mark Provost about the cuts. And then the other piece is, of course, charge, that's great, but you also have this cabinet forum that's coming up in March where this would be all appropriate material for you and every other student in the student body to come and discuss.
Okay.
But I don't mean you shouldn't charge them, but...
Yeah, would that be too late in the game for any of this to be pertinent anymore? March?
No, we don't set budget until summer.
Okay, so we can do it then.
I mean, we get further and further down the line as we go. We'll be further along in cuts and those kinds of pieces, but I don't. Yeah. I mean.
Okay. I guess.
Any other discussion? Any other new business? New business? Seeing none? Announcements. Control our best.
Is Senator Grash's birthday today?
Day tabling. So I will put this little cool sheet back here so that after this is over, y'all can go and sign up for as many times as you want, / sign up for as many as you can. I know you're thinking, oh no, I don't want a table. It's super fun. You get a heckle, you get a yell at people all you want, and it's completely justified.
But maybe not when you're working the Senate table.
And, yeah, it's a fun time. Also, more election stuff. I am charged by the Constitution, or I think it's our bylaws, to create an election committee. So if you're interested in being a part of an election committee where we will be organizing things, if any issues come up, we'll deal with them, talk to me, and we will get that set up as soon as possible so that when the elections start, we will have a committee for it. And lastly, ethics committee, please meet with me after. We have some work to do. So.
Chairwoman Montez, sorry.
Hi, Ann. Let's meet real quick after.
I wanted to say I'm glad you are all safe and home from your travels. For those of you who are gone, and doing amazing things this January term. I also wanted to congratulate one of our senators on an engagement. I hope you are all as excited and ready for a wonderful spring semester. Also, Dan, our student parliamentarian, has reminded me that Gustavus Squire has a home concert this Saturday at 7:30. So if you want to see or hear the sweet melodies we brought to the foreign peoples of Duluth, Virginia, St. Paul's, and Edina, that will be available to all of campus this And with that,
on that note, Matt, never mind.
Sorry. Senator Thayer.
Also on Saturday is a greeter SNL, which will be roller skates.
Roller skates.
Four wheels? Yeah, roller skating. And there will be free food also, so just keep that in mind. Just SNL. Grab up that.
Now, Senator Weeks. Now, just going off Matt's note that also Duo is performing this Saturday at 1:15 in Girling, doing the same performance we had on the Eastern European Tour. So, if you guys have any free time on Saturday, hop on over. It's really fun.
Any other announcements? Senator Burncraft.
I just wanted to say that there's a group of Gustavus students going to protest the Keystone XL pipeline in D.C. And if anyone's interested, email rfrankee@gac.edu for more information. If you want to go. It's super fun.
Any other announcements? Meeting is adjourned.
I'm the dean on call this weekend, so tell everybody.